I talked over you. They're going to say it again.
Okay. Did that song just say Famicom Dojo?
Yeah, I think it did. Maybe we should run it back and play it again just in case anyone thinks they heard something.
Yeah,
I think they definitely did. Well, how the heck did that happen?
I don't know. We'd like to thank all of our fans in the heavy metal community. No. Guys, what you just heard is the latest and hopefully not last addition to the music of Famicom Dojo. We don't quite have enough for a soundtrack album yet, but right. maybe a single and a B-side.
Yeah, for sure. So what you heard was the Amari Tones, how do we discover them anyway?
You know, there's a certain point late at night, I'd say it's around 2, when you're just on the internet clicking things, that occasionally you just wind up somewhere where you had no intention to be originally.
Oh yeah, that's how I met my first girlfriend. No, I'm kidding. My third girlfriend.
I wound up on this Kickstarter page. If people are familiar with Kickstarter, and you should be, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. It's a place where people who need funding, because usually kind of indie projects, people not associated with companies usually. I don't know. Would you say it's crowdsourced? Not really. It was like crowdfunded.
Yeah. It's basically projects. A way for people to give money to projects they think are worthwhile, you know, like small amounts, anywhere from like, you know, a few dollars to a few hundred, even a few thousand.
Again, I don't know exactly what I was searching for, but I think the title was Japanese Christian heavy metal band wants to tour in America.
How can you say no to that?
I mean, that's quite a title.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because, okay, there are Christians in Japan. Yes, there are some. Very few. Like
a dozen, yeah.
Like 1% of the population or less. And there are heavy metal, like 80s inspired heavy metal bands in Japan, but that would be less than 1% of the Japanese population is in a heavy metal band. So
if any of that intersects, watch out. Oh man.
But Christian rock is already not, I mean, it occasionally goes mainstream, Jars of Clay or something like that. Questionably Creed, I don't know. but anyway, I could liken it perhaps to like jazz infused Buddhist chanting society from New Jersey or something, you know. It's just like it's that obscure, you know.
Right.
So I mean,
to us, it's totally awesome.
That intrigued me. Just that kind of like, just really, you're doing that? That's good for you, you know.
Just how I suppose people who like are interested in video games feel about our show.
Well, I suppose so. As I said, my wife's been listening to the podcast lately. Oh, she says you have a very clear voice and you're easy to understand, but the stuff we're talking about, she doesn't understand.
Right. So we found this page, right? And yep. To help So in general, like with Kickstarter, different levels of support can get you different kinds of things. Like they'll give you like like discs or like tickets or whatever, the kind of something they can offer once the product is complete. In this case, with a certain level of donations, they would write a song for us.
Like, I was going to donate some money to them anyway, just because, as I said, heavy metal, Japanese, Christian rock band that sings in English. Oh, that's another thing. They sing in English.
Yep.
I was already going to send them a couple bucks just for that, you know?
Right, right.
But then it said, we'll write a song for you. And I'm like, a song. And I'm like, I got to get Sean in on this. So I emailed you and I'm like, and no offense, Sean, because if we talk about the history of Famicom Dojo, we do have a theme song. You've heard it.
Yeah. It's only a couple of years old, though, and the show's been going on for over four now.
So I thought, if they could write us a song, and I'm thinking, heavy metal song, like, Famicom Dojo! But actually, what we actually got is so much better than that.
Yeah, yeah.
Than the image in my mind, because I thought it would be kind of this, kind of a novelty. Because, you know, we didn't donate thousands of dollars here, you know what I mean? We donated a little, and it's a band, you know, it requires time to make a song, you know. Mm-hmm. So I had pretty much figured it would be more of a jingle than a song, you know what I mean? But like, we got a really, really good song made. Actually, since I found them on Kickstarter, I've actually bought two of their albums. They're available on iTunes. It's good stuff. It's really good stuff. Only they became a Christian rock band fairly recently. Before that, they were just a Japanese heavy metal group, which is rare enough as it is.
Yeah, you pointed me trying to show me what their stuff was like. You pointed me to a YouTube video called Karma Flower, which is
Karma Flower is so good.
It's such a good song, and yeah, I that's what hooked me right away. Was just the style that they were able to do with that. And I don't know who the heck animated that thing, because it looks like it could be like an actual like proper anime, you know, type deal. It was really, really professionally done.
We should really link that to this to this cast, because if you're listening right now, stop right now and watch that video. It's really, really good. It's a great song. It's a good video.
It makes me want to do a music video for this song that they made for us.
Yeah,
but you know, in the Famicom Dojo style.
I don't know if we can quite do the same bit of quality, but
well, we can't do animated, but we can do something else for sure.
So if you have any ideas for this music video, please drop us a line. Or if you are a music video yourself, and
if you haven't gotten work in a while as a music video, just
it took a number of months because they did go on tour. They raised enough money. They met their goal for Kickstarter. Well, that's another thing for Kickstarter. You can donate money, but if they don't reach their goal, you don't have to pay anything.
It's like the minimum bid on eBay or something like that. You don't
something like that. Yeah. I mean, it's not so much for something like this, but if they were trying to get money to say, make bookshelves or something, these custom bookshelves, and they didn't raise enough money, you know, you'd lose out on that money, because if they don't make enough to actually fund the project, you know, nobody gets anything. So,
well, nobody gets charged either until the goal gets met, right? To my understanding.
That's right. That until the goal was met, your card isn't even charged. But I don't know. We should probably use this to get the next Famicom Dojo Blu-ray out.
Yeah, that's something we've been discussing for a while. You know, part of the reason that's not done yet, apart from we don't have all the material we want on the disc finished, is that the cost of making the Blu-ray is just so much higher than a DVD, and we realize not everyone has a Blu-ray player. So rather than like make so many copies of one version and have them sit and not get sold, we decided we wanted to make like both a Blu-ray and a DVD in one set, and to sell it for the price of whatever a regular DVD would go for, which isn't a problem. It's just getting it made and the investment that requires.
Exactly.
So we need to make sure that people are going to want to buy it, and I think running a Kickstarter project is going to help mitigate that issue.
I mean, of course, we're going to have to put in a bunch of our own money still anyway.
But
if we can make it so it's not quite as damaging. Yeah. That would be good. But
go
ahead.
You mentioned before that we already had a theme song, and the story of how that came about has to do with our last DVD, actually. Which didn't receive any outside funding.
And it also has something to do with Tokyo Game Show, which we're going to talk about later, too. This podcast really all ties together. I like this one.
It's crazy, isn't it? Yeah, so we didn't really have a theme song. I mean, you watch the YouTube videos, and there's a small short clip of music in it at the end. But yep. It's not something we felt comfortable using on our DVD. So as we were making it and I was putting everything together, you know, I realized I had to like re-render these videos. I was going to touch them up, make the graphics a bit better, fix some editing problems and things like that. But then, you know, it came to the song and it's just like, you know, we really got to get something new here. And I threw together in GarageBand something over the course of an afternoon, which is, you know, entirely what these Apple loops in GarageBand are for.
Yeah.
And it sounded so similar to something, oh dear, I can't remember the name of the website, but a friend of mine was so convinced we had like ripped off a song to one of their videos, he had contacted them on our behalf and said, hey, I don't think they meant to do this, but these guys who do this web show about video games, I think they stole your song. And then they replied back saying, no, it's just an Apple loop. Everyone can use those. And as a matter of fact, some of those same loops end up in that Mr. Katoshi game that we linked. We sort of had a clip from that a few episodes back, sort of out of context.
Yeah. So please re-listen to whatever episode that was. We'll link it in the show notes.
I think it was Welcome to Die.
Yeah, you're right, it was, because it was about all the lives and how in that game you just die. But
so, yeah, anyone who's, like, heard these loops before, I'm sure they've been using different sequences and whatever, so.
And, I mean, and the reason we did is in the original Tokyo Game Show videos, we had synced up the video to, what was the song?
It was I don't know if this is the full title, but it was that song about like when we hit Japan from the president.
I think it's just
USA.
Called Japan.
It's just called Japan,
From Presidents of the United States of America, not like Obama and Bush, but like the band Presidents of the United States of America.
Right.
And that was on their album Pure Frosting, I think. But which was never as popular as the one before, which had like Lump and Peaches and you know what? They're a really weird band.
Well, I since collected like all their albums, including Pure Frosting, even the newer one, Love Everybody, I think is the newest one, and they still got it if you ask me. But yeah, so obviously we couldn't use that either on the disc, so we replaced that with our current theme. But the thing was is that we very deliberately cut the clips for the Tokyo Game Show special to the words in that music.
So
it doesn't work as well.
Like it starts out with a big shiny jet plane in the sky. We have clips from like Ace Combat with the jet planes and stuff. So we feel bad that we took that out, but in the same way, you know, you gotta make sure that it's better to have content that we created.
Yeah, definitely.
And I mean, the video maybe is a little worse for it that we had to edit that stuff out, but it's just now,
the intro though. So you know, you probably heard it a gajillion times in the years since the last couple of years that we've had it.
Yep.
Especially if you've been watching any of the promos we've been making for each episode as they go up.
Yep.
Speaking of which, we have a new video up. Yay!
Hooray!
Finally. Oh man. We originally were going to do this retro 3D special. It was going to be three parts. We're going to like do it bang bang bang. And part 2 is now 6 months after the first one, I think, or something like that.
We recorded a lot of the principal video about 3 months ago.
Yeah.
Two, 3 months ago.
And you know, there's various reasons for the delay. Most of it though is that I've been traveling and the time I would usually spend working on this sort of thing, I haven't had. So you can blame me, but we did finally finish it, and people have been asking for it, and which makes us very, very happy. What makes us not so happy is, you know, announcing something and then not being able to get to it as soon as we'd like. But it's out there, and we want to know what you guys think for sure, because we don't know if anyone really knew about Sega's contribution to the 3D gaming world, because, you know, I barely knew about Nintendo's before the.
I knew about Segas though because I was of that generation. I'm a little bit older than you, but well, I remember seeing ads for it on the TV, and I'm like, how does that work?
Right, right. Yeah, because unlike the Famicom 3D system, the Sega Scope 3D did come out in the U.S.
Yep. But I remember this commercial where this kid's like sitting in his house and he puts those glasses on and it looks like everything's really coming out of the screen. And I'm like,
yeah,
wow.
It doesn't work that way.
I mean, it doesn't work that way. But when I saw that as a kid, I'm like, I was what, 5, 6 years old, you know?
Yeah.
So I was totally convinced that this was the future of gaming, you know?
Yeah, I think Nintendo and Sega were, at least for a while, up until they made their less than 10 games for each system.
Yeah. But I think a lot of people know, I mean, at least people my age know of its existence, but maybe not how close it was to what Nintendo put out and things like that, so...
Yeah, apart from like the material itself, we've taken the opportunity to sort of shuffle up our format a bit, and
yes.
we tend not to delve a whole lot into games when we talk about stuff on the show, just because we're like mostly focusing on like hardware and history and whatnot.
Exactly.
But like in the case of these peripherals, like it was all about the games. You know, there wouldn't be anything to show you if we just like donned a pair of glasses and talked for 10 minutes or so. So, you know, we definitely had to like demonstrate what was going on with the games. The only thing is that we can't really show you that well because
replicate that effect.
Yeah, the way it works is by alternating an image for each eye. And so the first problem is you need to be able to sync up your glasses to it. The second problem is you need a proper kind of display for that. And a computer monitor will not meet those needs, even if you could sync up a pair of glasses to it. So we can just kind of show you what it would look like without glasses and then talk about the fact that it is 3D, but really what you need to do is buy your own system, buy your own games, and set up your own CRT television to experience it yourself, which is unfortunate, but that's, you know.
Not quite to that degree, but I think that's one of the things that is holding the 3DS back a little bit is that when you see a television ad for it, it can't really convey how it looks.
Not unless everyone has 3D TVs.
You actually have to go and try one, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
To see how it actually feels, how it actually works.
Which, you know, fortunately you can do, you know, because they have kiosks and stores and everything. But
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, this stuff is 25 years old, and you certainly can't find it just laying around in like a Target or a Best Buy anymore.
Or ever. A lot of it was never released.
That's true. It did not do too well.
But anyway, the video is finally done. Yep. And we thank you all for your patience. The third part is probably not actually the next in our episode filming order. I think what you can expect next from the video side will be a variety of things coming out of Tokyo Game Show.
Yep, Tokyo Game Show is our next destination. So actually, the week after you hear this podcast when it's first released, we are both going to be in Japan, and I'll be mostly in Tokyo, but Vink will be making his way up a couple days later, and we will be releasing clips that we shoot there. Like if anyone's been like watching my Powat TV coverage of conventions like MAGFest or BotCon or anything like that, I've been doing like video diaries every day. And throwing clips in where I can, so we can at least show you a taste of what it's like to be at the convention, and then you know, we'll prepare some video to show you if there's like breaking news or whatever, and then a little after that, maybe a week or two after that, we'll compile a nice retrospective of the entire event. But since we're both also going to be there, we're also going to be podcasting, so we'll at least have a quote unquote live show next week on the podcast.
I fear live.
With, you know, all that means is we're just going to be in the same room when we record it, and we're not going to edit it.
Yeah, I fear being in the same room with you.
I know it's been so long, hasn't it?
It has.
Even though I haven't been to Tokyo Game Show in 4 years, you know, Vink and I have seen each other sporadically throughout the intervening time, whether it's, you know, for conventions or his wedding reception.
which we recorded a video at.
Yeah, yeah. We did a promo for, like, I think DaishoCon 2008 or something. Oh, man.
Now that my wife is actually listening to this, maybe I should explain that. Yes, when Sean and I disappeared for a moment, it was to hide in a closet and record a promo for our show. Oh, dear.
You also dropped off that Twin Famicom that we ended up using later for the end of season one there. So, yeah. Yep. Yeah. It all comes together. So that's a little behind the scenes for you guys. That's the other thing too, is this podcast feed that you're listening to right now used to be our video feed. And
yes.
What we wanted to do and haven't had a chance to really demonstrate lately because we haven't released a new video since this podcast started was every week when we do release a new video, we'll have a brief promo for it in this feed. It'll be, you know, a video obviously, but it won't be like more than 30 seconds, promise. And then you can just use that and go ahead back to our website and watch the video. But there's another way that you can stay on top, and this will be really crucial for making sure you can watch all of our TGS stuff. We have a new video feed. It's not in podcast format, so you can't really watch it on iTunes, but it'll embed all of our videos from, you know, the very first one up until now. And So if you go there, you'll see all of our specials for Tokyo Game Show. We also have a new news feed for FamicomDojo.tv. So if you subscribe to that, you'll make sure you get all of our articles and like daily vlogs and everything else we're going to do through Four Color Rebellion and Powit.tv. So that's, and of course, this podcast feed to make sure that you're attacking this from all three sides and keeping up to date on our wonderful Tokyo Game Show coverage.
Now, we've been teasing Tokyo Game Show for a couple of weeks in the podcast, mm-hmm. but I mean, this is the first time we're actually like admitting that we're going to be there because there were a lot of things to work out, getting time off, getting the money together, actually being able to register for Tokyo Game Show as press, things like that.
We should have started a Kickstarter project.
We really should have. So we really hope you appreciate the Tokyo Game Show stuff. We're going to do as good as we can. I mean, we're going in as a two-man operation, though. So, I mean, we're not going to have the same level of coverage as IGN, but we hope we can, cover some of the stuff that maybe they gloss over. Because there is quite a bit of retro stuff going on there. The Game Center CX, also known as Retro Game Master, is having some events or things to show there. We're going to try to cover that. We're going to see, who we can get hold of and try to give it a very special Famicom Dojo type angle for our reporting. So we hope you like it.
Yep. And we're going to find those hot wings this time, darn it.
Stop referencing things that they have no idea what we're talking about.
Well, if they buy the DVD and they watch the bloopers and alternate takes for Tokyo Game Show, they'll understand completely.
Yeah, because everybody listening now owns our DVD and has watched all the special features. Well, maybe they have.
I promise you, they haven't. Knowing that people listen to the podcast versus who bought the DVD.
I suppose. We covered Tokyo Game Show 3 years ago, and I don't know. I think we did a fair job, but there was a lot we could have done better.
Absolutely, and we've both gone to conventions since then, either by ourselves or with some help. Vink, you've gone back to Tokyo Game Show twice, I think, since then.
No, just once. Oh, just once the once more.
In 2008. Okay, yeah, and
yeah, 2008. I missed 2009 and 2010.
Okay. So you know, and I've been going to different conventions as well. I still have something from MAGFest that Juario and I filmed. I should really release that because it's pretty funny. not to get anyone's hope up. He doesn't appear on screen, but he was my cameraman as we went around and interviewed a bunch of very what's the word I'm looking for? Very, very hairy gentlemen.
What? This is why we never get any new videos out. You're filming Teddy Grahams and hairy gentlemen.
Oh. Maybe I had to be there for the Teddy Grahams thing, but it was hilarious. Although I'm not sure that Adam's commentary helped.
No.
Anyway.
feel free to watch the Tokyo Game Show videos that we put up those years ago. Actually, we put them up a good 6 months after Tokyo Game Show was over.
And that one happened again. But, you know, we did put some things up right away, like Miyamoto winning that that Game Center CX Retro Master Award, whatever the heck they called it, Taisho.
That one caught so much of the press by surprise, because I was handed a flyer and it was in Japanese. There's no English on it, and it was just like, be here, be then. But most of the foreign press or whatever was just covering, you know, game announcements and stuff like that. But we were able to go in there and get our camera set up like a legitimate news agency.
Yeah.
That worked out really well, I think.
It was pretty awesome. And we also scooped the entire world on some SNK news, because you talked to who was that? Because we were setting up an interview for Falcon, but then you were talking to someone else.
He was one of the directors there at SNK. His name escapes me. I have his business card, but I was just talking about that stuff, and I think he let it. It kind of slipped out, you know. Is like, because it had not been announced for that. Well, the only thing that had been announced for Wii was the Metal Slug collection at that point,
right?
Which already came out in the U.S. but was coming to Japan. But he had mentioned something about like playing Neo Geo on the Wii through the SNK's Greatest Hits thing, and it had not been announced, and it wasn't in any of the press stuff. But I said, can I use this? And then we filmed right there, which in retrospect I should have prepared a little better for. I think I sounded like some raving nerd. I'm like, did you know that that's coming out for the Wii? Wow! You know, not exactly a professional news organization. It would be like someone covering a hurricane and be standing there going, it's really windy here! You know,
but I mean, you know, maybe people thought we were talking about the Metal Slug collection or whatever, but they didn't really, you know, no one really picked up on it, like the Miyamoto thing. And when Kotaku or someone like carried the story, like, you know, later that February, like, hey, do you hear this new thing that no one's reported on before? It's like, excuse us, we actually mentioned this back in September.
And there's at least 100 people who watched our video and who can.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I don't know if we can get scoops like anything like that, but, you know, we're going to try. We're going to try to get whatever we can.
Yeah, definitely. So we'll certainly put up things as quickly as we hear them, as many of them as we can get anyway, up in an evening, because even with a 2-man operation, it takes time to do that kind of work. But we will put off sleep in order to get this done. Or at least I will. I don't know about you.
I'm spending a night, I think, awake in an airport before Tokyo Game Show. So we'll see.
No, that's right.
My flight, because I'm still working the day right the day before, working until fairly late at night, and then from that I will leave at 11 o'clock at night, get to Tokyo about 1:20 a.m. something like that, and all the trains and buses will have stopped by then. So current plan is find a nice little spot of floor and sleep.
Oh dear. And that's how we do it here at the dojo.
And then wake up, get first train, and head to Tokyo Game Show. So, nice.
Yeah, I'll be in Tokyo a couple days before that, and I will be hitting the usual haunts, finishing off whatever pieces of my collection I can afford to put together there, and preparing
64DD.
Yeah, we'll see if I can find one. Oh man. It's kind of crazy, because I wanted to remember how to get to the ryokan I'm staying at, and actually used the street view on Google Maps, and I was just like, oh, I remember these streets. This is weird. It's like I'm actually there, and that wasn't around like in 2003 the first time there. So yeah, I haven't been back to this place in almost 8 years, and I'm really excited I get a chance to stay finally, because it's fallen through before. Like when I went to Tokyo Game Show in 2007, we ended up staying in Tokyo.
Yeah.
And then I was going to go this spring, but then the tsunami hit, and then we canceled our trip entirely. So.
Yeah, that was. But it's allowed you this chance to come again. So.
That's right.
I'm so glad we're doing TGS. I think I mean, I haven't talked to you about this, but I think we should set up an email address that I can have forwarded right to my phone, so that if anybody has any comments or feedback or something you want to see while the show is going on, you can email me directly, and we'll email you right back. So check the show notes.
Yep, I'll set it up right now. TGS at famicondojo.tv. Sound good?
That sounds good. Make it TGS 2011.
Okay.
At famicondojo.tv. So again, check the show notes if you didn't get your pen out in time,
or wind it back a few seconds. I hear you can do that these days with technology. Wonderful.
So if you hear something like, oh, there's going to be a special appearance by Kojima at the Pizza Hut, you know, or something.
we need to
know that if you want us to interview him or perhaps take some of his pizza.
You can also follow us on Twitter, famicomdojo.tv, and send us messages that way. I'm sure we'll be checking that as much as we possibly can.
Yep.
Although it makes me wonder, because I'm going to have my phone there, but unless I have internet through Wi-Fi, I'm not going to be...
In the press room, there's Wi-Fi you'll be given when in your press kit, you'll be given a password for it. So.
Oh man, okay, but, I'm gonna
but,
have to like.
But on the show floor, you won't have it.
I'm gonna have to make sure that I take my caffeine pills, because I don't want to get caught sleeping again like I did last time. Or maybe I do.
The most viewed thing we did with our coverage 3 years ago.
Was a photo that
Brian Ashcraft of Kotaku snapped of Sean, who had fallen asleep near the door of the press room, whatever. You were wearing your Wheaties T-shirt, weren't you?
Yeah, it was orange, and it was like something about Chick Stick the Pipes or whatever. I don't remember exactly. I should just bring it and wear that shirt again.
I think you should, in case.
Hey, it's the Wheaties guy. He has a goatee now. He looks not as much like Zach Braff. Spoonie? If I get that while I'm there, oh, man.
So in our comments for this week's show, please write what you think we should cover. I'll post a link to all the announced games so far and all the announced booths. It's in Japanese, but a lot of the titles are in English. So you can look through that, and or if there's just some company that you hope that we go to their booth and talk to them, just let us know. There's too much. This thing is huge. I don't know if people totally understand the scale of this thing. It takes place in an arena with like lots of subdivisions and things like that, and there's more than one could ever possibly see. Even though we'll be there for all 4 days, there's more than one can see.
Yeah,
you know?
We need to be there for all 4 days just to take as much in as we can, because the first two are business days, which we're getting in, and we can get through the lines a lot more quickly. But it's not going to be able to do it in those 2 days, so we got to brave it with the rest of the public on Saturday and Sunday.
And then, of course, in the evenings, hopefully. Well, I know you're going to a party. That's really cool.
Yep. Before TGS starts, I've been invited to a pre-TGS party, which is very exciting. You get to hobnob with games creators and other journalists. Oh, other journalists. That sounds so cool.
The other part, or the fact that you consider yourself a journalist now?
Of course I am. I've been running podcasts for 3 years. Yeah. You know, we've got an awesome website running that's getting more and more popular all the time.
That's very true.
Heck yeah. We got a DVD that we can shill now, too.
That's very true. We've got to put together some press kits.
Yep.
So, I mean, we're very excited about this. You know, we should really see if we can meet the Amari Tones in public while we're there, too.
That would
be
nice, especially if we're thinking of doing any kind of music video, anything.
Oh, my gosh.
Wouldn't that be great?
I worry that we're hurting their reputation as a credible band.
No. It'll be fine. Well, I know a few things that I want to look at while we're there, because we've already heard that the PS Vita is going to be playable on the show floor.
Yes.
So that'll be something that I'm sure everyone's going to be on top of there, but I'm sure we'll put our own wonderful bent on it. There'll be 3DS games, new ones, finally.
What I was reading before, there will be more 3DS games on the floor than any other platform.
Wow, that is pretty incredible and sort of.
But the thing is, that's only announced things so far. So a lot of people are expecting some kind of, and probably by the time you hear this podcast, they'll already be announced. But Sony's holding back its game stuff to be more of a surprise. So all that said, I expect a lot of PlayStation 3 stuff. PlayStation 3 has really come into its own in the last couple of years.
Yeah, I think you know, still it shows that the 3DS is far from a dead platform, as a lot of journalists want to claim it is, or that Nintendo should go third party, which we discussed on our show before, things like that. It's you know, with the PS Vita not coming out in the States this Christmas, it's going to give Nintendo a huge advantage this year. We'll see about next year, but this year, I think they're going to be just fine.
The thing that does annoy me about Nintendo, and it probably makes sense from a business standpoint, but I really wish they had some sort of presence at Tokyo Game Show.
Yeah.
Because there's so much press there, there's so many things, and, you know, Nintendo, have a booth, show us Mario Kart, I don't know. You know?
Well, it's kind of crazy, because when we went back in 2007, Nintendo owned the show as far as I was concerned, because there was a Wii title in every booth practically, except, you know, the Microsoft booths or the Sony booths.
Do you remember we couldn't actually play them?
Well, some of them we couldn't. Like, we were able to play some of the Umbrella Chronicles, for instance.
Oh, sorry, I've... I'm thinking of the year before. Sorry, I went to Tokyo Game Show the year before you went as well, and they had the Wii there, but like it was all like dev kits.
Oh, right.
And they had like models playing the games.
Oh,
like
yeah.
you could watch two girls dressed in, like, I don't know, bright fluorescent athletic wear playing like Elebits or something, you know.
They still do that, though, as far as I know.
Oh yeah, yeah, they still do, but like the press wasn't allowed to, you know, to touch the Wii or the Wiimote or anything like that.
But you got to play the War Heroes. That was my first year. We got to play the Onechanbara game that came out for Wii.
You're right. That was the year after. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we'd actually been released at that time. I remember playing No More Heroes.
Mm-hmm.
There, yep. And that started my love affair with that game.
So I'm hoping to see more things like that, you know, for the 3DS, and maybe Nintendo will steal the show again without even being there.
I don't know. Maybe, but you never know. I think it was just that year that we went, there just wasn't a lot of new stuff coming from the other companies. And yeah, people were getting really excited about the Wii. That's before third-party companies kind of turned their back on it.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that. Some of the games that we did play ended up not going anywhere, like the aforementioned Umbrella
Knights.
Chronicles.
We played Knights there, too, didn't we?
Well, you played Knights there. I didn't.
Oh, yeah. I was not. I remember. The thing is, by the next year, it had gone down a lot. I mean, I played some Wii games. Like, I played the Wii version of Dead Rising. Yeah, but and I was like, oh, I'm really not impressed by this, you know?
Yeah, well, that's because the Wii version was far, far inferior to the 360 version.
But I played a lot of good games at Tokyo Game Show. I've still got to say. And previously, we went there kind of trying to cover as much Nintendo stuff as possible. But I think this year, I mean, I'm still quite a big Nintendo fan, and I'm going to check out that stuff. But I want to check out everything, you know?
Yeah, well, for sure. Especially now, because, you know, back then I wasn't a terribly huge fan of, like, the 360 yet. And even Japan, the Japanese aren't really fans of the 360 yet, but if they have anything interesting to show there, I'm going to be super, super interested in it, more than I was, you know, 4 years ago.
Do you remember how big Microsoft's booth was there.
Though. I remember the booth, like, babes, and how like they all lined up, and there were a lot of them.
But like, not a lot of people. We spent a lot of time in the Microsoft area.
Yeah.
Or am I confusing shows, like playing like Viva Pinata and stuff when it was?
I don't think I was there for that. I'm sorry.
but because there weren't that many people in that area, but it was huge. It was huge. And they had like lounges set inside, and they're like interview areas with like beanbag chairs. And, you know, it was just really.
Wow.
I got to see my first HD DVD player there. Uh-huh. Do you even remember that? When Microsoft was like, yeah, this is the future.
Right. Well, I still have mine. I still have a bunch of movies for it, too. And I honestly, I love it more than I love Blu-ray, because Blu-ray players are slow. And yep. They take forever to load the movie, and I just want things to play like a DVD does, and HD DVD does that. But they somehow lost the format war, even though all of history was against Sony winning. What are you going to do?
I mean, Sony, I guess, won, but did they still? I mean, I guess Blu-ray is the next generation format that's around, but like, I think. I mean, people are still buying far more DVDs and
yeah, I don't buy.
I worry that like the next winner is not Blu-ray, but like Netflix or Hulu or something like that. Oh, Hulu just launched in Japan a few days ago. I'm so happy.
Oh, I didn't even know it wasn't there.
Well, it's an America only thing because of rights issues.
Okay.
And now it's an America and Japan only thing.
Nice.
But what they did was they took all these American movies and American TV shows, and they're all Japanese subtitled.
Wow, that's a lot of work.
Optionally, you can turn it on or turn it off. But like in Japan, like American TV dramas are pretty popular. You know, like I watch House with my wife.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm a big Hugh Laurie fan. We'd been renting the DVDs from the local, you know, video rental place, 300 yen. So that's about, gosh, what's that? $4. $4 for two episodes.
Yikes.
But like, you know, that was the only real option other than, or we could buy a series box set for like more, you know,
how much
like
is Netflix going to cost?
$70 a season or something.
How much does Netflix cost to get in Japan?
Well, Netflix still isn't here, but Hulu's here.
I meant Hulu.
It's about 1,500 yen. So, I don't know, with current exchange rates, about $19 or something like that.
That's certainly more than we're paying here.
Well, it is, and they don't really have a lot of free stuff. But like, Japan didn't have anything like that before. Like, they don't have a Japan homegrown one.
Okay.
And so, for me, this is really... really good.
Yeah, like any price you can pay at this point is certainly less than what you've been paying.
But like, I don't know. I hate going to, as much as I love physical media and I like to own DVDs very much if I like the movie, I don't like renting DVDs.
Right.
I've never liked that. Because if I really like it, I'm like, oh, that's $5 out of what I could have paid towards buying it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if I didn't really like it, well, then it's like, oh, now I got to go back to the store and return this. And I always forget. So I think my rental days are done. I'm going to continue buying movies that I like, and the things that are a little more throwaway, I'm going to watch on Hulu.
Wow. So I think one thing that we should probably mention about Tokyo Game Show that is kind of important, at least to me, is that this is the first time we're going as Famicom Dojo.
It is.
Like
we went,
every
went
other year before
this,
was Four Color Rebellion. But we signed up as Famicom Dojo. We got in this Famicom Dojo, and everyone
I was a little surprised.
Well, you know, we're a big deal now. You know, we're going to be giving everyone who talks to us, they're going to get the Famicom Dojo business card. Fantastic.
Yes, I love this. I know. Famicom Dojo has grown so much in the last like year and a half, and mm-hmm. and we really got to thank all of our listeners and things like
Absolutely.
That. You guys,
all the viewers, everybody
have given us so much support and really kind of pushed us to keep doing this.
But also, you know, there's more to this than just Tokyo Game Show. There's beyond. So we're certainly going to be covering everything in the next week or so. But keep looking into the future for the rest of season two. We are still going to make it. We might even film some of it while we're together in Japan there.
We have a few good ideas.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. So we're definitely going to be working harder on getting more of our content out more frequently and even changing up the kinds of things that we've been doing. We've been talking about this ever since we've been starting the podcast, and just doing the podcast gave us a chance to talk about it, really.
Yes.
Which is something that we desperately needed in order to keep the show going. So thank you for everyone who's been listening to the podcast. If for another reason, it gets us stirring up ideas about more videos.
Wow, this show's been really meta. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's not our typical fare, but we got a lot going on in these coming weeks here. So we just want to make sure everyone's aware and how much of a part they play in its continued success.
So I guess as a way you can see this is as a teaser, because we're going to have so much information coming out starting when we're in Tokyo Game Show that I think the thing we have to show most of all is that we really encourage you to get on those RSS feeds so that you don't miss any of this and stay connected, because we are so small that we can't cover everything. That's the negative, but we're also small enough that if you say, I really hope that you can go and see what's coming out from, you know, this small company, that we'll do that, you know?
Yep.
So we can be your eyes and ears in Tokyo Game Show for you.
If you are interested in that song we played at the beginning of the show, we're going to have the full version in the podcast feed. It'll be right before this episode, and then two links before that will be the promo clip for the second part of our 3D special, the Zygoscope 3D. So make sure you watch that and click on the wonderful link to watch the full episode. Or if you've already subscribed to the video feed, you can just watch it right out of there.
We've got there's an English version and there's a Japanese version of the Famicom Dojo song, which is called RPG, Rocking Playing Game.
Wonderful. Isn't it wonderful? We also contributed a few lyrics, not very many. They asked us for some notes, and we helped them out with the bridge a bit. So maybe out of like 100 words in that song, we contributed 10. But
yeah, most of it is what they put together, and we were so happy with how it turned out. Yeah. And you'll be hearing this song a lot more. We'll use it whenever we can.
We'll try and get that music video together.
Now, if you like what you hear with the Amari Tones, they have a lot of really good stuff out there. They've got a back catalog of, I don't know, it's something crazy like 10 albums. So
wow,
because they've been around for quite a while in various forms.
Nice.
So check them out. Download some of their stuff. I recommend Karma Flower and pretty much anything from their Japanese pop album, which came out a number of years ago. It's just a really, really tight album.
Yeah.
Well produced.
All right. So I think that's all we got before we head out to Tokyo Game Show here. What do you think?
I think that's it. There's a couple days before we leave, so if you're listening to this when this is a new podcast, send us a mail, send us a tweet, send us a comment in one of our news feeds, just so we can cover what you want us to cover. And again, thanks to everyone for listening this far. We know it's been really meta today.
All right, so we'll see a whole lot of you guys next week.
All right, why don't we end with some Amari Tones going out?
That sounds good to me.
Okay.
してた剣を抜いて姫様のために戦ってた高度剣は矢で試験ゆで実施人だよファンタジーも現実も区別なんてなかったよファミコン道場
僕らはみんなハッピーハッピーハッピーハッピー